packet up there on the front table.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'll take it in the fourth table, John. Yeah, that's where it had been.
Jenny had me put a few out there.
Okay. I'm turning my hearing aids up. This room, all sound gets lost in this room. Okay, we've got four voting members here, so we do have a quorum. Rather than wait for everyone to start the meeting. And we have three announcements at the start of the meeting here. One is that the meeting is being recorded, and the recording should be available, as I recall, within 48 hours on the city website. The second thing is that we have a new member who has not been sworn in yet, but she's been appointed, Liz Esmond, over there. She'll be presuming sworn in and voting next time. And the third item is that I got a request from Tim Dugan that he said he had to leave at 6:40 tonight and would be pleased put his quarterly report, which is going to be about idling behind homes and businesses. I guess he wanted to move that up so he can be sure to be out here by 6:40. Since we don't have any special presentations tonight, I think we'll probably make that easily, but I'm going to move Tim up to between new business and old business, make sure that if he shows that he gets a chance to talk and gets his time in. So roll call.
Adam Stout, Ward 3.
John Soldar, Ward 1.
Jonathan Stittleman, Ward 2.
Robert Brain, Ward 3.
Tim Cusick, council liaison.
Okay. Opening rounds. Anybody have any comments in the opening round? Okay, I will talk about one thing quickly. A woman named Barbara Pickford has been here at the last three meetings. She really wants this U City and Wash U to join up on a series of lectures on sustainability. She would get the speakers, and U City would basically do everything else, since you want to have it in our rooms and do the arrangements for the meetings. This commission approved that idea in July when I was not here, but I read that it was approved. And then it went on up to the city manager to get to the city council. The city manager said, that's a nice idea, but we need absolute commitment from Wash U to do it, a statement from Wash U that they want to do it, rather than just Barbara Pickard saying that she was in favor of it. And I guess so Barbara's talked to Jenny Went a couple times about this and talked to Tim Cusick about it, and so far nothing's come. She was kind of worked up when she heard about the requirement having Wash U formal request to be part of this thing. And so that's where it stands right now, just to let everybody know that this thing is on hold until she gets some statement, a letter from Wash U, or to just drop one or the other. Okay? Next item is approval of the minutes of the August 9th meeting. They're not in the packet, and I did not see any in the email. If that's the case, I think we're just going to have to. Where's the July minutes? Oh, that's my old packet. It's not in. I think we'll just have to put it off for the next meeting. So we'll put that off for the next meeting. There are no special presentations scheduled tonight. I don't see anybody want to make public comments. Unless, Liz, you want to make a public comment because you're still part of the public?
No, it doesn't.
Okay. All right, fine. So nothing there. So there's new business. First item is the new business from Renew Missouri. This is the Green Tariff Program. And Jenny has said there's a request for our endorsement of signing a letter of support for this thing. I hope you got a chance to read over these a couple of letters that came along with it. Let me just say that Jenny asked me to go with her, be there to attend a meeting of a man from Renew Missouri who's pushing this whole thing, a guy named Andrew Linhares. We attended that meeting, and there's a letter from him sort of going over it. I came away quite confused as to what this is about, and I think Jenny did also. And then the letter from Phil Valco from Wash U really straightened out what this whole thing is pretty much about, if you have a chance to read the letter from Phil. Anybody have any comments on her, or have you had a chance to meet her, or anyone want to say anything?
I do have a question for you, John, since it seems like you've been in attendance. It seems like the email that was sent from WashU talks about this is just preliminary now, that there's no cost associated with it, and it's in its very infant stages.
Right.
Therefore, wouldn't it make sense for us? It seems like we can put a hold on it now if you'd like to. Is that correct? So are we voting on a hold? Or
okay,
voting
you, all right. Board? I've got some deep understanding of what's going on.
Okay.
So here's Tim. Okay. So Ameren wants to put this unit up, build this wind power situation, and they need commitment from people to buy the power from it. WashU is a big enough institution that they're interested in doing it. When they're trying to get University City and the City of St. Louis to join in with them as one unit going and showing some interest in this thing. At this point, all they're really asking for is an expression of interest to examine the program in detail and depth when it's put together, when Ameren comes through the final proposal. Right now they aren't asking us to make any commitment to buy electricity from this thing or whatever. I see problems for an institution like a city government to get involved with this because the taxpayer purposes, really has to budget a certain amount for power and electric consumption every year. And this looks like it's pretty wide open. The power can go up or down day by day or hour by hour. It may be difficult for us to commit to it. But at this point, all they want is, and you look at the next paragraph in Phil Valko's letter, it says, none of these details are known for the Ameren programs, and initial expression of interest is non-binding until Ameren reduces the strike price. He wants UCD to express interest in the program to hold the place. And then once this is done, and that'll keep us at the table when they discuss this whole thing and look into it further. And then later on, WashU and we and anybody else can decide whether they're really going in with the program or not. So what they really want right now is expression from the Green Practices Commission that we recommend that University City express interest in this program, that we want to be part of the discussion of it, and we'll keep our options open as to what happens when this whole thing develops. Is that clear?
Yes, that's what I had taken from Phil's letter.
Yes.
I too found that the most explanatory.
Yes, thank you. Yes, I know. Without Phil's letter, I was still in the fog as to what was going on. So I guess at this, is there any other discussion of this, or can we just take a vote on going ahead on endorsing the idea and just say that we want to have an expression of interest and to stay the rest of the program to see what happens.
And to clarify, that's really non-binding to the actual project. It's just
that's right
until we see that price.
Right. Once Ameren agrees, yeah, they've got enough people of interest who would come in. Once Ameren gets enough people of interest, I gather that they will then go ahead with planning to put this thing in place, have some idea of the cost, especially putting a collar around the price so it doesn't escalate tremendously or drop tremendously. And then at that point, people would decide, yes, we want in or not. And so WashU was trying to build, this thing's really aimed at bigger users power. WashU was trying to put together a bigger group of people rather than just itself. They want University City and the City of St. Louis to be involved as well. Okay? I guess for somebody to make a motion to approve the idea of expressing interest in this as a preliminary step.
I'll motion.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. The motion is approved. We will ask city manager and the city council to commit to having an interest in this thing and discussing it with the people involved with the region of Missouri that's approaching this thing and wanting to handle it. Okay, Tim, you weren't here, but I moved you up between new business and old business. We're going to be finished early anyway. But go ahead. So are you ready to make your presentation now?
I'm going to pull open my documents right now. sorry, Mary's not here, because I'm going to talk a little bit about sort of the impact of idling vehicles, not only on the quality of the vehicles, so sort of personal loss, but as well as the environmental impact. So I know Mary's been one of the champions in talking about additional signage and things that we can have throughout University City with focus on the Del Mar Loop, and I think she's thinking about the commercial area on Olive as well. So hopefully this will be a nice complement to that. So just give me a minute to pull that up. So essentially, this will be a quick summary of some of the research that I've been doing. And if anyone has particular interest, I can loop back with more information in a future meeting, or I can just send some things to you. But the sort of instigator of this research was not just, of course, recognizing that there's a negative environmental impact, both globally but also locally, when we have car idling, but also, there was some conversation I was a part of with a couple residents in University City that there might be an environmental justice component to this, because if we're thinking about where there's car idling, it would either be where it might happen most densely, it would be in commercial areas or areas where there might be more commercial vehicles idling their cars. So that could be anything from police vehicles to buses and public transportation that's running on gas that tend to be in neighborhoods and along streets that are of lower income homes and housing. So just a couple of the things that sort of sparked this. And so what I looked into was, what's the impact from an economic standpoint for particularly the owner of a vehicle whose vehicle is idling? What is the public health impact? And then what's the environmental impact? So just a couple quick highlights that I'll share that I think won't be surprising to you all, but I think would lead us to say, let's continue to support efforts of educating the community on not idling your cars. And what I've shared with Jenny, possibly talking to University City government about education for police officers and people that operate university vehicles around this. I'm hoping that this would be the beginning of some encouragement and conversation for that. In terms of impact on your car, turning on your car is not damaging to the car engine, battery, or starter, and it uses less gas than 10 seconds of idling. So there's sort of a common misconception that turning on your car actually uses quite a bit of gas, and that used to be the case, but with advancing of technology, that's no longer the case. And engine idling can also make your spark plugs become dirtier more quickly, essentially because you're letting fuel run through your system without actually running the system fully, and so it can actually increase your fuel consumption by 4 to 5% even once you are actually driving the vehicle. Water also condenses on the car's exhaust system, so that can lead to corrosion of the metal parts within your vehicle. So I can share a little bit, if you're interested, the source for that. In terms of public health impacts, it will not be surprising to you all that idling cars leads to increased pollution, which negatively impacts our air. And so some of the things, I've been talking to someone from the American Lung Association who has some great materials on this, is of course lung and respiratory problems. Most of you are probably aware that we don't have the greatest air quality in the St. Louis region, so that's something of particular interest to us. And then we have pretty high rates of asthma and allergies, particularly for children. So that's something that we want to be aware of. And then CO2, and then dangerous particulates like nitrous oxide, carbon monoxide, and VOCs are all coming out of vehicles, which, of course, that's happening when we're operating our vehicles, but by idling your vehicle, it just allows for lower in the atmosphere a concentration of those gases. So it's just closer in space to individuals that might be walking by because it's not part of a moving vehicle that would drive it up into the atmosphere a little bit faster. So there's really a local risk there. And then not surprising, there is the environmental impact as well of those chemicals going up into the atmosphere. So just a couple actions that I think could be part of what we might share with our residents and our business owners in University City if we decided to have a conversation or support UCity government in putting out some education. Of course, turning off your ignition if you're waiting for more than 10 seconds, so that's not just individuals, but with regard to business or government vehicles, if it's someone that's doing a delivery or picking somebody up, things like that, keeping in mind that that actually will be an economic benefit to you as well. Warming up your engine by driving and not by idling is actually better for your vehicle. And so, particularly when it's cold, when people are thinking, oh, I just want to turn on the vehicle before I get in the car, it's actually more damaging and it takes longer to warm up your vehicle than if you just get in the car and start running, because that starts running everything through your system, so it'll actually heat your car faster if you just drive it. And then warming up the cabin interior by driving, not idling, is a similar idea. Not only will it warm up you, but what I didn't mention about the engine part is that it actually allows, when you're driving, it allows the lubricants to get flowing faster, so it protects the parts of your vehicle and extends the life of your vehicle as well. So essentially, you can protect your car by idling less, and I have some kind of fun estimated dollar amounts of how much can you save if you cut out, what's sort of the average amount of idling, things like that. One of the things that I found kind of interesting, I was looking to see if there were governments at a city level taking any action and trying to hold people accountable to not idling. And I've just started doing some of this research, but the City of London actually has a law against idling your vehicle, and I'm not sure exactly the duration of time, but it's fairly short. It's like 15 or 20 seconds, and you can actually be fined if you're found in a vehicle that's idling for longer than that. And they're starting to see some great results of just reduction in idling, so the positive impacts of that. So if anybody's interested in learning more, I know Mary's been, as I mentioned, been talking about putting up signage. And Jenny and I have been talking to folks from Washington University and Quadrangle to extend from just putting those signs up on the Del Mar Loop to sort of the areas on the north and south side that are primarily residential but have a lot of overflow parking and driving for individuals that may be coming to the businesses on the loop. So hopefully that will continue to move forward.
Yeah, you might try to suggest to Jenny to see if you can get it in Roars. This is a newsletter you say puts out to all residents.
Yeah.
It's something about that. It might be useful.
Thank you.
It's one way at least to communicate with the community and hope people read it, yeah. And actually, you know, do that and put some facts in. You know, the dollar saving or whatever, not too long, but just enough so people can say, yeah. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this island. Okay.
I do have a question, though. So I just purchased a new 2018 car, and it actually does that without me doing anything. Like when I pull to a stoplight and I sit for...
a hybrid vehicle?
No, it's definitely not.
It's just a regular vehicle. It will shut off the engine.
It will shut the engine off, and if I sit for more than 5 seconds, are there any aftermarket things like that that could be added to an older vehicle?
It's a great question. I don't know that, but I can look that up.
Because I'm just curious, because it seems like when you were talking about police vehicles or, you know, having the government lead, that if there was something aftermarket product that could make that happen compared to just relying on an actual person to do it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So do you have to restart?
No, I don't do anything. Literally, I press the brake and I stop, and you hear the car shut off, and then you press the gas. It pauses for maybe a tenth of a second, and then you go.
Is this a hybrid or something?
No, it's a luxury car, I guess. You know, I mean, it's a Mercedes, but it just comes. You could turn it off if you wanted to, but it has an option.
My goodness. Okay.
So.
I'm guessing it's probably just like a fancier or similar but maybe more quality technology that is used in other hybrids, though, where there's some way for it to essentially...
It actually says it back charges for something, mm-hmm. so I don't know. I mean, but it's not a hybrid,
yeah.
so per se.
Interesting, yeah.
But like I said, I just didn't know if there is an after...
Liz?
Yeah.
Look, use the microphone, please.
All right, can you hear me?
Yeah,
all right.
Both
there we go. Okay. Like, as far as the scope of this, do you have any measurement or idea of, like, the amount of cars that do idle in a given period of time or, like, the length of time that they're there for?
Yeah, that's a great question. We don't have any information on that for University City right now. Generally, what I was looking for was what would be the impact sort of on an individual and where could that go on a collective level. So I think what next steps would be is hopefully in partnership with Jenny's trying to get a sense of what's the hourly use of government vehicles as sort of a microcosm of what could be the impact of changing the practices. Thanks.
Any other thoughts?
Yeah,
the idea of this with the police vehicles, that's interesting. That's why we sort of approached the city manager about electric vehicles a while back and got shot down, and he bought some Dodge Chargers instead. But the police claim that they've got to keep their car idling and they can't really turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they lose 2 seconds in getting to some accident or something this way. It isn't, I don't know, but they idle all the time. Okay, on to old business. The Sustainable Practices Guidelines. So, Jenny, with this, we had this in August. It was a synopsis, or actually, this whole team she's working with has put this draft together. They want the city to use eventually, guiding the city and developers on things. And then she sent us something by email a couple days ago, and that packet is included in here. And today's meeting packet that you picked up at the door. And beyond that, she told me also that there was not in the packet at the door, but in the, it was in the email thing that came, there's something about electronic vehicle solution with charging stations and things, there's some mention of it. So I'm not sure exactly what she wants us to do with this. I guess there's a question that how we measure success, and there's a question of is the city adopting it. Anybody have any thoughts or comments on this, if you've read it over, if you haven't read it over? I was very impressed with what she put in this. She and the team of people she's working with. I guess we can recommend that the city adopt this thing. We can do that for one thing. But also, she asked, how do we measure success in this? And I've looked it over, and I just, you know, haven't had time enough to dig into it deeply. Just figure out how you might measure success here. This is a somewhat difficult situation. Yeah, it's a huge packet. It begins.
Yeah.
The original one was done in green. This is, so it starts off with this 2018 Sustainable Practices Guidelines. Everybody's seen this. It was green the last time. It's black and white now. Saving coloring, which is fine. And the purpose is to use an overview and everything right on the first page.
It is a document that can be added to, and I think maybe the how to measure success, there are so many different parts to it that how we measure success is going to depend on each section, I think. So maybe that's something that could be developed and add it to the document in some way. How do we estimate how this is working or how it's being responded to.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be a living document, that's for sure.
Is it possible to postpone it till Jenny can explain it more, since she seems like she was the one most involved with it? I mean, I don't see a problem with it. I just didn't...
I don't think any of us see a problem with it. How do we go about measuring success?
I don't know if she has some idea behind it, you know.
Or is she asking us for ideas? I tell you what, I'm inclined to go along with your suggestion if everybody else has agreed. Postpone it until next time so Jenny can talk about it more. And then I will try to get together with her. I'm retired, so I've got the time to do it. I'll try to get together with her and attack this idea of how we can measure success with this program.
Yeah.
Is that fair enough?
I just think it'll make more sense to do that instead of present it when we don't quite know the answers.
Right.
Because it seems like it's a very well-written document.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I also think it's such a significant amount of work if you can respectfully review it.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, next time. I'm making a note to myself next time.
And I think, yeah, one of the big questions to your point, Barbara, is success measured for how much people are following the document or how much each component of the document changes behavior or reduces emission? So I think, you know, success, I just wonder what not just the criteria, but what are we measuring?
Is it being followed?
And of course, some of those points are required, some of the stormwater management.
Right.
Points in there, they are required, but then a lot of them aren't required, so it seems to me that there would be different approaches to how we would measure success.
Yeah. I like John's idea of, is it being followed and are people's behaviors being modified? That's a good idea, and also I'll agree with you that it's there's so many different sections, you're almost going to have to try to measure success with each section rather than
document as a whole.
Okay. So I think we'll all wrap up. I get a sense of consensus here as to put off this until we talk with Jenny next time. And I will try to get together with her and see if I can prod her and talk about this. And I want to especially take John's ideas, those two ideas, to her and maybe push her something else and see where we go.
I agree with that too, John. I'm wondering, since you said you're going to reach out to Jenny, if you could ask her, is there anything that would lead us to say this is a little bit more pressing, or we want to make sure that we prioritize this and start to move forward at next month's meeting? Or it seems like this is such a big and important document that it's going to be something perhaps rolling out into effect over a number of months. But if there's some reason that we want to move forward a little more quickly and devote more time to it, I think Jenny might have some insight on that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm certainly impressed with what they did. People involved an awful lot of time into this thing, that's for sure. Okay. So I mentioned Barbara Pickard today, and basically, I think we've done everything that was on the agenda to do tonight, except for closing round. If anybody has any ideas, things you want to talk about.
Council liaison.
Excellent. I'm sorry, you're right, Barbara. Amy, you have anything you want to say?
Just a couple of announcements. I do want to go back to the Green Practice Sustainable Report for just a second, and Jenny would know more about this, but when you talk with Jenny, ask her if any of the proposals in this would have any kind of an impact on any of the other boards or commissions.
Okay.
I'm thinking, for instance, the transit-oriented development, whether or not the traffic commission would be interested in looking at that portion.
Excuse me.
And I'm also interested in the materials section with construction, demolition, waste diversion, and those types of issues if the planning commission would want to look at something like that as well. I imagine Jenny probably has already thought of that because she's usually pretty thorough, but maybe if you could ask her if this is going to impact on whether or not any of the other boards or commissions would want to look at any portion of this.
Okay.
And just a couple of announcements. As you all probably are aware, the TIF Commission did approve the resolution for us to proceed with the development along Holloway 170. Currently, the developers are submitting proposals to city staff and to Mr. Rose, and it's estimated that in the next month, something formally will be presented to the council in terms of a contract to move forward on that project. And again, if it's a Costco, I don't know. They haven't told us, but everyone speculates that it is. And then just two other announcements. The University City in Boone has their plein air art event coming up on Sunday the 23rd. And then if you're an artist and you want to paint, then get on board. And then there will be an afternoon of festivities starting at 5 o'clock here in the Heeman Park Community Center for judges to look at those art entries. And then there will be food and wine and beverages and stuff like that. And then also the University City Historic Society is having an event on next Thursday, the 20th, in the Rotunda of City Hall. And then after it gets a little bit darker, they're going to attempt to light the beacon atop City Hall. So if you're not wanting to be there, then at least step out your doors after dark and see if you can see the beacon being lit atop City Hall.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've been here long enough in U City that I've seen that beacon lit, but I've been in my house for 49 years, so it's a long while. Okay, I want to make a comment afterwards unofficially, but I want to adjourn the meeting. I think we're finished. So the meeting's adjourned, and the other comment I want to make is that Tim made a comment at City Council recently that one of the commissions he's on and liaison to, they wouldn't let him, Paul F. Carr chimed in with something.